on Hits 103.9 FM. My name is Fento Tahir Fento. Welcome to the show. This is proudly sponsored by Patrosol, DSTV as well. All of them on board with us here in this Ghana month. It's our very first show of the month of March, and it's a very special one because this today also marks the start of the African Games. After a year's postponement since getting the rights in 2018, and after lots and lots of work, we are finally here. 55 countries have descended in this country to participate in 29 sporting disciplines, fighting for glory from now till March 23. We are going to preview every single sport, or as many of them as possible. Where is Ghana's biggest strength? What should you be excited about? Where could our medals possibly be coming from? Our reporters have been following as many sporting disciplines as possible, and each of them have their expertise area, their expert areas, if you like, to bring us up to speed on where our potential medals will be coming from. We will tell you why you should be excited or why you shouldn't. Our job here is to provide you with the details and the details of every single sport, how we've performed in previous African Games, and which athletes or players we are presenting for this particular one. There's football kicking off today at 5 p.m. at the Accra Sports Stadium. Ghana versus Congo. It's the first game of the Black Satellites in these African Games. And listen to this, the Black Satellites, or Ghana, is the most successful country in the African Games when it comes to football. They have 3 medals to their name. The last one coming back in 2011 when they won gold with Kwesi Appiah at the helm. Can they, Desmond Ofe's side, replicate that particular performance? We'll be here for it. The women are also in action. They won gold in the 2015 edition. They are in action again. Their first game will be against Ethiopia. That's also later tonight, 8 p.m. at the Cape Coast Sports Stadium. We'll tell you why you should be excited about Yusuf Bazigi's team. There is athletics track and field that is kicking off on March 18th, so we have a bit of time to talk about that. But certainly, we'll tell you why you should be excited. Boxing is also starting on March 17. We'll tell you which boxers we're presenting for the games and whether there's cause for excitement. As you already know, the table tennis hasn't gone exactly according to plan, with all of our athletes getting kicked out. We had reporters there from the competition that started on Monday and still running. I will give you up to speed on how our athletes performed. The one thing I can tell you for sure, we have not won the medal there so far. There is swimming. Abeku Jackson and company have never won a medal at the African Games in the swimming event. This time around, they're coming in stronger than ever. Can they mount a challenge? They're targeting at least one medal in the swimming. Where will it come from? Then there is lawn tennis. We won, of course, another. In the 2015 edition, we won a gold medal in the men's double. Of course, can we replicate that performance? It remains to be seen. We have won medals in so many different disciplines as far as the African Games are concerned. But the sport that has undoubtedly proven to be the most successful of them all is the track and field event, with 89 of our 185 medals all coming from the men running on the track, and the men and women running on the track, and the men and women throwing and jumping on the field as well. So there is that. Boxing has certainly given us the second most medals at this particular competition. Can they do it again this time around? It's another conversation that we will have. Volleyball has given us 1 medal in the past. Weightlifting has given us 9 in the past. Judo has given us 2 medals. Table tennis has given us 1. Tennis itself has given us 1. I just mentioned it, a gold medal back in 2015. Parasport has contributed 10 of our medals. Unfortunately, the para sport in the African Games has been removed. It's a whole new a competition on its own, and we held that a few months ago here in Accra as well. Now, handball has given us 1 medal in the past. Football, if you combine both the men and women, they've given us 6. The men have 3, the women have 3. badminton has given us one medal in the past. Hockey as well has given us one medal in the past. But the undoubted leaders are athletics with 89 and boxing with 24. That's all to come here. Of course, in the history of the African Games, we have won 185 medals this time around, and that is in 12 previous editions. We have given ourselves a target of a top place finish in the medal table. To finish in the top five in the African Games, one needs to win at least 100 medals. The last game, we won 13. From then till now, what kind of work have we put in to make up for the 87 medal difference between the last games and this particular one? Now, bear in mind that in the last African Games alone, Egypt amassed 259 medals. That's more medals in one game for Egypt than Ghana has managed in its entire history in 12 previous editions. And yet, we have a dream of winning at least 100 medals in this competition. We just love magic, don't we, in this particular country? Anyway, welcome to the show. It's live and interactive on social media as well. Let us know what sport you are most excited about. We'll tell you about the opening ceremony and what have you. Also, we'll tell you a bit more about how you can get in touch with us using even our hashtag sports game plan. I beg your pardon. The hashtag is game plan on Twitter. Let us know which sport you are very much interested about or interested in. And when you'll be going to see them, we'll tell you how you can go and see all of them. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. This is how we begin the African Games in the African month. The rest of the world, Ghana, welcome.
like the New Games Village, like this. Four halls. Imagine, imagine that contract. Four halls.
Do you want them to collapse me?
Yeah, he was
like the insult you guys got insult me for here. The way they gave the contract to Muftau. What is his history when it comes to electrical stuff?
Charlie, but don't worry. Marine Drive, eh? Mm. Yeah, Marine Drive go happen. So don't worry.
Okay.
You go do action.
Don't give me any contract. $100,000.
I know if you pay. All
right. Okay, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Yeah. Listen, Lawrence is here. He will talk us through the women's football. Our hockey correspondent is here as well. Benai will talk us through hockey and what's happening with Teodosio Sawoku. And then Karim is here to talk us through nothing.
No, Karim and I are in Legon.
I know.
Karim and I are in Legon.
So which sport have you hold on? Which sport have you divided among yourself?
He will take rugby and.
This Karim. With a small body.
Guys, Nat, of course, everybody knows what to expect. But Nat is also very much interested in beach volleyball. Not.
Oh man!
It is a reaction for me.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
I am not.
Why is there a need for a disclaimer?
Beach volleyball.
The way that Nikkei they look me.
Oh, they all run away from me too. Oh no!
Oh, by the way, can we guys listen? Can we ask the sports minister where the beach volleyball event will be taking place?
Labama at beach. Wrestling at
All right, I beg your pardon. Sorry for that. So first of all, where will the beach volleyball be taking place, Mr. Minister?
Wrestling at your beach volleyball at Labama at beach.
Okay. That's enough. Okay. Listen carefully. Where will the beach volleyball be taking place, Mr. Minister?
Wrestling at,
okay. Not wrestling. I said beach volleyball. Where will the beach volleyball be taking place?
We have beach volleyball at Labama at beach.
All right, second place at Obama Beach.
Labama Beach.
Wait, where?
Labama.
Oh. That's not what the minister said.
La Baba.
Oh, it's La Boma.
Thank you.
La Caca.
Do you recall one press conference you wanted to mention Milo Van Rijvaag? He said the coach, you say Milo.
Yeah. Nat, the multipurpose hall at the Accra Sports Stadium, what is it called?
It's called DG Hathramani Hall.
All right. Mr. Minister, where will the wrestling be taking place?
Wrestling at... Haramani Hall at the Haramani Hall.
Where will the wrestling be taking place?
Wrestling at Haramani Hall at the Haramani Hall.
Nat, is it the same place?
Well, yeah, it is the same place.
Okay.
It's
guys,
the pause before he attempts to mention the Hathramani.
What about hockey? Mm-hmm. Where is the hockey stadium is called what?
Theodosia Okun Hockey Pitch.
Ah, okay. Let's ask the minister where the hockey will be taking place.
Hockey, we have Theodosia Oka Hockey Stadium.
Honorable Mustafa Yusuf, I'm sorry. But when CK did it, we did the same thing to him.
Yeah, CK did not. Yes. CK, yeah. Yeah.
Christian Paris.
Yeah.
CK is listening. Anyway, welcome to the show. Once again, the opening ceremony is today. The black satellites are in action a little later. They are the first team in action, actually, at the Christ Posted, and that's at 5 p.m. That will end around 7, and then after that, they will immediately transport, I understand, the supporters back to the Legon Sports Stadium for the opening ceremony, which is expected to start around 7 p.m. Now, you saw an artwork that says the activities will start around 2:30. That is true, but I can tell you that the opening ceremony itself will start around 6 p.m. What I can also tell you is that if you're targeting to get there just before 6 p.m., you might as well forget it. So you're better off just going there from 2:30 or 3 p.m. for the opening ceremony of the African Games. And it's going to be a big festival, big fanfare, because Shatta Wale will be there.
Oh, man.
George Bracken will be there. Kim Promise will be
Ebo
there.
Ebo
Taylor will be there.
Pat Thomas
will be there. Yeah. So that's a huge fanfare for all kinds of lovers of music as well. There's contemporary music and there is classic.
No, but the headline is Shatta.
Why is it the headline?
The headline.
Some Shatta people, Wale. Their headline is Pat Thomas.
Shatta Wale is Pat Thomas. His fans, Shatta. Come on, man.
Nat, are you more Shatta Wale or more Pat Thomas?
No, make you no mind than Nige.
A shock.
Is you boy? You boy are old. That's why.
Sika emoja. Sika emoja. Sika emoja be in the cut across.
That's right.
It be money matter.
Yes.
You see, Danny
it's K, timeless.
You see, when Danny K comes to sit here in the middle like that and he's doing this, me, I watch him quietly.
That's right.
Sika Yemoja.
That's right.
That poopa. You think poopa?
You think poopa is not? You know the famous Kotoko anthem that we've been playing on radio.
That song is legend.
Yeah. The Asante Kotoko Ebeche.
Yeah.
I think it was composed
by Kotoko. My famous musician pa is called Basitara.
Yeah? Your famous or favorite? What are you saying over here?
The way you like spoiling my time.
Do you know Basitara? Have you heard of Basitara before?
Said, is he your most famous or your favorite?
My most famous. Not favorite.
Do you know that the word famous is not relative?
Huh?
No, are you aware that the adjective famous is not relative?
It's not relative.
No. Relax. What is famous to you? It's not famous to me.
But that's why it's not relative.
It is not relative.
Yes.
The word is not relative. Yes. But what I'm telling famous. You is that when I say my famous musician is Basitara, because he's popular over there, he's not popular here.
Basitara.
Yes, Basitara.
Basitara. Yeah, drop one line.
Must have pronounced the name well. Drop one line.
It's Basitara.
Basitara.
Is he a rapper?
We have.
So listen, is he a rapper?
There are two of you. Is he a rapper? Of you. We have 29 sporting disciplines to get through.
Yes.
So I really don't have a lot of time. Let's begin.
What are you saying?
Listen, let's begin with what has happened already. Now, badminton and table tennis were supposed to be the first sporting disciplines to start. In fact, they were supposed to have started on Sunday. That didn't happen. Then table tennis started on Monday and badminton didn't. Now, badminton only happened to start today, I believe. It's the first day of badminton. Yeah, no, it's today.
Seventh.
It was karate that started
yesterday.
So, but table tennis started in earnest, but not at the venue it was earmarked to start. It was supposed to be at the
dome of
the dome of the Botema. It was moved to the Accra Sports, Accra International Conference Center. Ghana went through the qualifying phase. The singles, we didn't make it past the round of 16. It concluded, Egypt won the women's edition, the gold medal. It was an old Egyptian final. And then in the men's, Egypt and Nigeria went to the final. Quadri and Omar beat Quadri. So Egypt got another gold medal there as well. Nigeria got a silver. Nigeria also got a bronze in the women's edition as well. So they've got two medals from the table tennis already. Those were from the singles event. Then the doubles event, Achu is the one who's been covering. Achu, where are we? Is Ghana still in contention in the team event, the doubles?
No. So far today, we've seen Egypt, Tunisia, and Nigeria basically show everyone why they are the big boys in the competition. Algeria got close, but they were blown out of the water, I think, in the semis. Three straight sets by the Egyptians. I think Senegal
also got close, but they were blown away by Nigeria again. In the semis, Nigeria also dispatched, I think, South Africa by the same three straight sets. So you have a grand slam finish between Egypt and then Nigeria. I think one theme that has been running through, and I was just going through the past 3 years, the international calendar for table tennis competitions, and the names that you see there shows you the attitude of those countries to table tennis, and the return on investment is what we have seen on other African games. And so from Omar Asar Mohammed to Ibrahim Diaw, Aruna, Olajide, all of them, you are finding them being listed in these multiple competitions elsewhere. Unfortunately, you don't see that for Ghanaian athletes or the table Ghanaian players. In January of this year alone, there were no less than 13 competitions, most of them happening in Qatar. I think two of them in the United States of America. We were told about the performance of Hannah Goddard, who just returned from those competitions. And then
the 16-year-old gold medal winner
of the Egyptian, singles. Yes. Then you have Omar Asar himself, Aruna Quadri, who did pretty well at the games in Qatar. So that level of preparation gives them a certain advantage. To put matters into context, when we spoke to Bernard Josam, the captain of Team Ghana, after he lost his run of 64 game, he complained about the level of competition within the Ghana team. And he said they could not cope with the intensity. And there was not too much focus on the technical aspect of it. He said just the matter of intensity and the muscle memory you build from consistently being entered into these competitions was what was the difference, and is still the difference. If you look
so at, where are we with the doubles event? I need an update instead.
So that's what I've said.
Yes,
the Egypt and the Nigerian final is what we're going to have, both in the men's and then the women's. I think both won their semis. Egypt beating Algeria 3-0 in the semis, and then Nigeria also accounting for
so Africa. You're telling us that right now,
yeah,
There is no chance that we could get anything from table tennis.
No.
So that's that.
That's that.
It's done.
It's done.
So the table tennis players and their participation in the African Games is over.
Look, so
even before the opening ceremony,
do we need to go over? Go back on it. I'm telling you that the men's semifinal just finished with Egypt beating Algeria 3-1, Nigeria beating Tunisia, Egypt beating Algeria by three straight sets.
Yes.
Nigeria beating Tunisia 3-1.
Okay.
So if you want to find a way to...
I get it. So I'm basically saying there's no other table tennis competition somewhere.
Boga, we're out. What do you want
that
to
That is what I want to know.
Out.
So table tennis, no chance.
We are at the final stage. It's between Nigeria and Egypt.
Ghana is
That is for the team event.
Yes, the men's.
And the singles,
uh-huh.
That one
we But the singles,
two
we...
Or three they
finished it. They've given medals. You want to go and
What are you trying to do?
There's nothing else somewhere.
I've already said that. Now I'm explaining to you why we are here. The one Ghanaian player who has excited people, Jeanette, that everyone is talking about, went to Egypt for 10 days. And when she came back, she was beating everyone for fun.
In Ghana here?
Yes. Basically because of the difference in the quality of her preparation. So she was playing the Chinese. She was playing... It was a continental meet. And so you had players from across the globe entering into that competition. Obviously, its significance, especially in terms of the purse, right, that they were going to get at the end of the tournament, will determine who was going to compete, right? But I'm just saying that that one event that she had, and this was because the sports ministry decided to sponsor her and provide the funding for that to happen. The difference, the impact of that was the ranking that she got. So she was basically beating everyone. That is just one out of the many players that we have. Josam did not have that opportunity. So many of the other members in the team did not have the opportunity. But they are going to compete with those who she went to Egypt to compete with and could not survive. Most of them literally compete on a weekly basis in Europe for $15,000, $20,000, and the likes. Now, when I spoke to Malko Afagino earlier today, I asked him what their operational budget in a year is. And he said, roughly 3 million Ghana cedis. Friends, with that amount, how do you consistently enter your tennis players into competitions. How are you able to fund that? Because they got lucky with the African Games when the sports ministry decided to go and sponsor one tennis player. But they wouldn't do that every time. So if we're serious about this thing, what we need to do essentially is to find a reliable source of revenue to fund table tennis. Fortunately for us, because of the African Games, now we have 100 certified coaches. But that is just theoretically speaking. Because just by virtue of being certified, that does not necessarily mean they are quality coaches. Okay. Now they need to put those ideas to test. But in the meantime, you need some experienced hands to come in and then groom or train the players that you have. And I like
very well
what we're doing with tennis. I think when Mubarak gets here, or whoever speaks about swimming, will tell us about why we're hiring all of these expatriate coaches to come in. It speaks to a certain admission that while we may have some certified coaches down here, they may not at the moment be at the level where they can be able to, or they can coach our players and move them to the levels where, beyond beating their own marks, they are recording continentally competitive marks in the context of the Olympic Games and right. the major competitions.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Chu says table tennis, no, I a car. So that's minus one. That's it. It's done. Even before the opening ceremony, we are already out of one competition. Table tennis. So that's that. It's done. We have won nothing in the table tennis.
So we have the confirmed men's team. Egypt have finished first, which means they've beaten Nigeria, who have now taken bronze. Silver will go to Algeria. Nigeria will have now taken silver. Bronze will go to Algeria and then Tunisia.
So Egypt have another medal.
Yes. Gold.
Another gold medal.
Yes.
So that's,
this is the men's team.
Yes. That's three gold medals for them already.
In all of the table tennis competitions that they have played.
Three gold medals.
Yes.
They have one bronze.
They have gold in the women's division. Hannah Goddard, the 16-year-old. They have gold in the women's team. They have gold in the men's team now.
And they have gold in the men's singles.
In the men's singles now.
So it's clean sweep.
So that's four. That's what I've said. In every competition that they've participated in, or in every aspect of the table tennis that they've participated in, it's just gold for them.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that Egypt won 259 medals.
Yeah.
At the last Africa Games alone.
Yeah.
Ghana's entire medal collection in 12 editions of the African Games. 185. It's 185. Oh, nice. So just listen, let me stay with you guys over there. Daniel, badminton was supposed to have started alongside table tennis. That didn't happen. It's finally started. Where are we with that?
So yesterday was just training for all the teams. Today... they are supposed to start the main competition, but obviously because of the opening ceremony. So we'll see the business end of the competition happen over the weekend. So that's Saturday, Sunday. So by Monday when we come, we should start seeing some medals be given out. So they'll start with the singles for both the men and then the women. Very similar to the format for the table tennis. Then they go to the teams, that is the doubles. And then there's also a mixed competition for that's to one man, one woman, and then like that.
Do we have a good team there?
Charlie, some way. No, is it?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Don't go to. Fair enough.
We don't want to break hearts.
No. Fair enough. Yeah. So, badminton, there's hope. That's what all I will say. Daniel, let's talk about tennis and swimming. You've been covering the events that will be happening at Boteman. Let's go through them one by one. Tennis is where a lot of people are very excited about, simply because, one, they have the pedigree. They won a gold medal in the 2015 edition. Where was that? That was in Brazzaville, right?
Yeah, Brazzaville, Congo.
Okay. And since then, this team in particular, this year, not this year, towards the business end of last year, for the first time in, almost 10 years or so, they gained promotion back into the Davis Cup Eurozone 3.
Africa Zone 3.
Yeah. We had been out of it for so long, and we finally made our way back there. So there's something to be excited about in the tennis.
Yeah, and for me, what excites me most is it's like a new face for both the Golden Rackets and the Diamond Rackets. The Golden Rackets is the male team.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, last year was a very good year for them. In July, they gained promotion to Zone 3 of the Africa Davis Cup competition. Then, at the tail end of the year, in November, our doubles team, that is Ibrahim Asaba and then Isaac Naughty, they paired up and they went to an M15 competition in Dominican Republic where they went all the way to the final. So they've been building that momentum they've been having, and both of them are based outside. So they've been playing in individual competitions, teaming up. And when you talk to the people at the Ghana Tennis Federation, the coaches, they are really, really optimistic that if anything, we can repeat that men's doubles medal. They are looking at gold, but they really believe that if anything at all, they will get a medal from the men's doubles. Now, it's the same men's doubles team that won the gold back in Congo 2015. And then in... Yeah.
George Darko was one of them.
Yeah. And then if you go back to 1991, Ghana actually won a silver in the men's doubles again. So our only gold in tennis was in 2015, but we actually have two medals in tennis.
Fair enough.
And both of them have come through the men's doubles. So it looks like historically that has been an event that has really favored Ghana. But even in spite of that, Ibrahim Asaba is also going to be taking part in the singles. Isaac Naughty will also be in the singles. And they really believe that, look, they can push it. Singles is not necessarily our strongest suit. When you look at the history of the competition, the Egyptians have generally tend to dominate both the men's and the women's field. So you expect that the Egyptians will come out will be much stronger than us. But they also believe that, look, because of the home advantage, and the team has trained at the Bortiman Sports Complex for a while. That's not where they were based, but they started training from about January. That's when they assembled camp. That's the guys, the locally based players.
Yes,
they were training at the Accra Sports Stadium, then at times at the Accra Long Tennis. It didn't take long at the Accra Long Tennis, but in the recent weeks, they have been at the Bortiman Sports Complex. They've acclimatized with the place. They know the court, so they feel that home advantage could help them in the competition. But for me, what interests me most is the project that the Ghana Tennis Federation is putting together. They are not just looking at this as a one-stop shop. It's not like we are coming here, come to show up, and then we are moving. When you look at what they are doing with the Diamond Rackets, that's the female team.
Yeah.
Relatively young team. So we have a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old in the team. Sisu and then Tracy. Very young girls. And then there are two foreign-based players who come in to add up to that team. They are not pressuring the female team for medals. But when you look at the progression that they've been making over the years, especially from 2022 up until now, they are showing real signs of promise. So they are taking this team a step at a time. This will be the first major competition that the Diamond Rackets as a team will be representing Ghana. And they are looking at this as a stepping stone. And then hopefully in the future we can get medals. And these are some of the... I like when federations are honest with their planning like this. It's not because everybody's expecting medal, you just go up and you start promising things that you know you are not prepared for.
Yeah.
They know that they've put in work over the years. But when they look at the terrain and they look at who they are going to face. Look, the Egyptian, the North Africans are really, really good at tennis. In fact, it will interest you to know that in the 2011 Africa Games, Ons Jabeur, the African number one, she's two-time Wimbledon finalist.
Yes.
She won.
Yeah.
At that time, she was 17, yeah. Tunisian.
Yeah.
Egypt won in 2015. Egypt won again in Rabat in 2019. So the North Africans have shown that, look, when it comes to tennis, and clearly from what Achu is telling us,
table tennis as well.
When their balls bouncing on opposite side, they understand how to.
The most frustrating thing about a lot of Ghana and our sports and projects like what you've just mentioned is continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is no, like, I think when it comes to projects and giving young athletes the chance, I think the whole country was very excited. Look, one sport has shown the way, and yet we haven't reaped the results. That's swimming. Because in the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, they called it The personal best Olympics.
That was the one I go chop the insults for.
We had 16-year-old Kaya Forsen. We had Abeku Johnson, who was 19. We had all these young swimmers that were the 100-meter backstroke. The people finished, and Kaya Forsen was now going to finish the first 50 meters. Yeah. And the people were clapping. Oh, she's young. You know, another Olympics should come good, brother. She's not even in this Africa Games team.
Well,
That's for a reason.
Add a quick one to his and yours. There's something at the base of all of this that we're discussing, and that is regular competition and exposure. I've spent the last, before this week, I spent about 3 weeks in Morocco. And what was the agenda? It was the Hassan II Trophy. It's the one of only two PGA tournaments that are played outside the zone of North Africa, mm-hmm. and Morocco have it. Now, we're asking ourselves a very simple question, and this will cut across all the sporting disciplines we're talking about today. What is the structure, the competitive sporting structure, that is placed there to ensure that our athletes are up there in terms of the quality of the output so that they can become globally competitive athletes? Now, Danny Kay mentioned a couple of tennis players.
Yes.
All those tennis players, both senior players and junior players, have played in the Magdan Open ITF tournaments, of which I was organizer for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Now, we grew that brand to a point when it became, and ITF certified it to become, a $15,000 prize tournament.
Yeah.
And that meant that once it got to that magnitude, no Ghanaian player was up to it. And that brings us back to the same, space.
So the local problem. Talent was pushed out because of the big prize
now,
money.
Fact, during that seven-year period, during that seven-year period, we had the Magdan Open Tournament, which was very, very strongly because of the resources that were being invested in it. And then immediately after that, you realize that people were getting more inspired. So Interplast came back. The Interplast Open came back. The Accra Open came back. The JEA Mills Memorial Tournament came back. And then there was the GTP, the Ghana Tennis Professionals Tournament.
Yeah.
It also came back. And then Mr. Roger Crawford, who's a former player, and what do you call it? He also came back, organized a few tournaments. We got the Magdan Juniors. And all these players were playing. Now, the two players who won, which included George Dako, who was our number one seed at the time, was a previous winner on the Magdan Open Tournament and a few other tournaments that were played on the local scene. So you're asking yourself a very simple question. If, for instance, an average tennis player here in the first quarter is able to play about 15 tournaments, mm-hmm. 15 in the first quarter, mm-hmm. it will do something to his competitive psyche and all of that. But unfortunately, we don't have that structure here. And that is one thing we'd have to commend, the Federation for.
The Tennis Federation have done really good work.
Yes, they are moving these players around, but we also need to ensure that there is a sustained competitive structure which has been thought through properly, has a lot of resources to back it, so that the average tennis players here have a certain level of experience.
Yeah.
Because we can't sit here and continue to expect that manna will fall from heaven and the guys will be churned out into some champions within the space of, 10 minutes or 3 days or 5 days.
Happen.
We carry them into camp and think that God will perform a miracle. It doesn't work like that. It is a pragmatic process, and we need to invest the resources, create the platforms, and then based on that, it will happen. When you go to all of these other countries we're talking about, you see, year in, year out, they're learning. Year in, year out, they're learning. Go to Nigeria, for instance. Nigeria are running the federal system of government. Mm-hmm. So when you go to every state in Nigeria, they've got every state has its own sporting infrastructure. Now, so you ask yourself, if you compare it to Ghana, for instance, we have 16 regions. Yeah. Do we have the same level of sporting infrastructure? No. When you go to the Volta region, for instance, if there's a young boy in any part of the Volta region who has a boxing talent, and is looking for a place to go and start learning and honing the skill, it will be difficult. When you talk about table tennis, it's the same.
Yeah.
If you talk about table tennis, go to other regions in Ghana, and the level of access and all of that is the same.
Look, so the next leg of what he has explained is that we have a situation where a lot of the state agencies inadvertently kill talent's growth. Let me explain this to you. Tennis. Table tennis. A lot of the players transition into the services. So police, army, navy. And then as they grow, the ambition changes. The focus now is on becoming, climbing higher up the ranks, right? So if in the past he was getting 3 or 4 days in a week to train, the focus has shifted. The ambition, the career trajectory has now shifted. He no longer has those 2 or 3 days to train and play table tennis. So when you even talk about entering into domestic competitions, you the warrior. But elsewhere, there is a whole infrastructure in place. Now, one of the things that we were told and questions that we were asked, because at a point it got a bit embarrassing, Dina Mashreff could point to her roots at the Al Ahly club. So when Nat is talking about that infrastructure in place in Egypt, there are recognized tennis clubs. There is a whole infrastructure in place that requires institutions to now put up clubs like that. Not just put them up, but clubs that are well run and well resourced. To the extent that
Al Ahly campus, they have Al Ahly Football Club has every sporting discipline you can imagine as a team.
Exactly.
Their basketball Zamalek, team is same, highly Zamalek. Successful. Table tennis team, same. Their tennis team, so they have. So it's not just a football club; it's a sporting
club. And you see, they are able to retain the Dina Mashreffs, Goda Hanas, and the likes, not just when they are teens. Right from when they actually start, they become global names, right? And are players of repute, where they can go and compete for these $20,000, $30,000 tournaments. That is when they actually play for the Allies and whatnot and those clubs. So that infrastructure of having, say, clubs that can actually retain these players, that's not existing, guys.
I would rather we don't spend today lamenting what we don't have. No, I want us to spend.
I want to ask nothing.
No, but you
I
see,
want to, no.
It's on the structure. It's on the structure thing.
I want us
about.
To spend today telling people why they should go to Boteman, why they should go to Lagos, and when they go there, who they should look out for, what our teams look like. That is the focus of today.
But we're not lamenting.
Because we addressed what. No, it's true.
We're not here to cry.
We're only explaining what
no,
ought to be.
I don't want us
to
do that.
But on that tangent,
yes, Daniel.
I'm done with tennis. So I'm telling you that if you want to see a medal, you come to the Botema Sports Club.
That's all I want. Today, I don't want us to go on what we should have done.
The men's doubles team have a very high chance of winning a medal.
There you go.
But the swimming,
when is the tennis starting?
It's starting on the 15th.
Okay.
So, for me, the problem, I have a small problem with the swimming team. Our swimming team is Abeku Jackson.
Basically.
In terms of medals.
Yeah. In terms of medals.
In terms of
and
medals.
In fact, even before you go on, to be fair to them, the only once ever previously have we had swimmers. Or a swimmer at the African Games. And it was the last one.
Yeah.
Abeku Jackson was in 2019 Rabat. That's the first and only time we've ever fielded swimmers at the African Games. This time around, we have a team of what, 10?
10, yeah.
I believe. Nubia Ejay is a national record holder in the women's
for the backstroke.
50-meter backstroke. Abeku Jackson is a record holder in two events, the men's 50-meter butterfly and 100-meter butterfly. He's been growing. He spent a lot of time in Europe camping. His coach is from there. His coach is from Russia, I think.
Russia, yeah.
The same coach that he had been camping with, that he went there on scholarship for more than a year, swimming every single day in Russia. So he's got a lot of experience. On top of that, when we organized the Ghana Zone 2 competitions here and in Senegal, the Team Ghana swept lots of medals. Yeah. They were very highly successful. But Daniel, you were saying that apart from Abeku Jackson, or with Abeku Jackson,
I'm saying if we want a medal in swimming, and we are serious, we should be looking at Abeku Jackson, because I don't think the rest of the members of Team Ghana are in the position to battle for medals. I think the level
maybe we should also high. You know, turn our attention on the national backstroke record holder, who also spent a lot of time in Europe, moving around, having a lot of competitions.
Men or women, are you talking about?
I'm talking about Nubia Ejay.
Yes,
Nubia.
Okay.
Yeah, because we spoke to Nubia sometime.
Yeah, she's
a
potential.
She said
she's
hoping to do a PB.
Yeah.
You said, and to be fair to her.
But it's realistic.
When you run a comparison of the times that usually win the competitions, and then you gauge it against her personal best, I understand why she says she's personally going for a PB.
Because the Egyptians and the South Africans, once again, these two, when it comes to swimming, no one comes close.
At all. In fact, let me just give you a breakdown. So we're in 2024. So 3 years ago in the
Ghana African Championships,
which we covered extensively. Yeah. Here.
South Africa won 59 medals, Egypt won 40 medals, Ghana won two. Yes. The two, Abeku Jackson. Then 2022 African Swimming Championships, South Africa 40, Egypt 30, Ghana two. The two, Abeku Jackson. So there's been a trend.
Yeah,
we know that, and he specialized in both the 50 and 100 meter butterfly. So that is his thing. I don't think that we should go and be pressuring the rest of the league because of him. He is the one who has proven that when it comes to competition standard, he can match up with the rest of his peers in Africa. Not the world, but in Africa. Mm-hmm. So once he's hosting, once we are behind him, these are his two specialized competitions. For me, I'm sure most people will go to the Bottomland Sports Complex Aquatic Center to watch Abeku Jackson in terms of high-level competition. He will give Ghana that stage we will
take. His swimming starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. So
okay, fantastic. That is all I want today's show to be about. Nat, let's talk about boxing.
No crying.
You and Achu has covered the team extensively. They are currently, Achu, where are they? They are currently in Italy.
Yeah. They are due back on, today's 8th.
Yes.
So they are due back on the 11th.
What are they doing in Italy? What's the record there? What's happening?
Nat, help us.
Well, so after the failure, you know, after the failure in Senegal last, you
after
know,
the failure of, to qualify for, to qualify the, Olympic for games the Olympic Games,
I don't like the word failure.
After
the unsuccessful attempts to qualify to the Olympics.
Okay, we could put it that way. After the unsuccessful attempt, they tried to make the most of what the opportunity that is in Italy. As the situation stands now, Theophilos Kwakwalote, a flyweight, is our best bet to make it through. Now, he's got three fights to go through. Once he's able to do three fights and he's able to win, you know, he wins the next two
he has
fights.
Two
then,
left.
Yeah, two left. So yes. He does
so
one,
two, already, yeah?
and then he fights himself in Paris.
Yes.
Now, as the situation stands, we are banking our hopes on all of those guys coming back and using the experience gained from, or the lessons learned from Italy to come into battle. Now, we do know that on the African continent, our brothers in the northern part of the continent like to show, they show very strongly.
Yeah.
They show very strongly when it comes to the games in boxing. You could say that also for a few of the West African nations like Nigeria. You could talk about Tanzania and could talk about South Africa as well. Okay. So this is where we're going to see competition. Now, in the last two editions of the games, we haven't done, something that should make anybody turn a neck, even
two
though
medals.
Boxing is supposed to be our strong point. So two medals from the last two games is not good enough, considering our strength in the sport and the kind of history that we've written, especially with the Olympic Games and all. So as it stands now, we want to bank our hopes on, and then would come to a Samotechi. Now, Samotechi has a very interesting story. Remember that,
by the way, point out that he was in Italy.
Yes, that's what I'm coming to.
Didn't book a ticket to the Olympic Games.
So that's what I'm coming to.
Okay.
So now his inability to book the ticket now goes to disappoint quite a number of people because in terms of pedigree, in terms of that mental strength, and in terms of possible skill, we're expecting that he'd learnt enough between his first qualification to the Olympics till now. But do remember that he's also had a bit of a checkered path in terms of deciding whether or not he wanted to pursue the amateur boxing or whether or not he wanted to go strictly into professional and forget about everything that has been done here. There's something else that we need to consider, that there is a $30,000 package at the presidency waiting for a plan to be submitted so that he can access it. That is called a development plan, and that was part of his reward package for winning Ghana's only medal at the Tokyo Olympic Games. That hasn't been touched yet.
He's
I don't know what
some
the plan
of it,
is.
I believe.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. He's accessed some of it.
Hold on.
Okay.
For development of his career.
Yes. He's accessed some of it.
Okay. But you ask yourself, what kind of development are we also looking at? Because at a certain point, you saw him sign on with Ike Bazuka Kwarte, his camp, to get him promoted, in the professional ranks. So once again, you're asking yourself, is the gentleman going to focus on his professional career as a light welterweight? Is he going to go strictly into the game so that he specializes in that? These are questions we asked earlier. So
one of the answers
of the answers he gave when we spoke to him was that he essentially had to put his career on hold
right?
His professional career.
His professional career on hold, because if he had fought one more bout, he would have not been eligible to participate in the games, because I think the rules are that if you have 8 bouts under your belt,
is it
as a 8?
I think it's 4.
No, 6, actually. Okay. If you have
it's
6
not
bouts,
that many. It's not
6
8.
Professional bouts.
Yes. Under your belt as a professional, you can no longer come back to the amateur rank. So he said he had a conversation with the sports ministry, and then they decided collectively, I have to say, that he, in the interest of the country, he would put that on hold. But the problem that I have found is the lack of a concerted plan, right, for not just Tichy, but for the entire boxing team.
Are you about to lament again?
No, I'm not about to.
No, but Fentu, hold on. You know, I was having this conversation with someone earlier today.
I'm not yet to lament today.
That has been tradition here that every other time when we have a major assignment such as this, whether it's the Black Stars playing in a qualifier, whether it's anybody going to fight in a world title fight, any team going to the athletic championships, at a certain point, we all channel our energies towards pushing and garnering support for them, which is, I believe, what we want to do here.
Exactly.
But unfortunately for us, we cannot decouple the conversation about preparation. Yeah. Let me just refer you to our highest rated table tennis player, who during the week gave us one of the most striking sound bites of the week, saying that it is the lack of preparation that got us here. Yeah. And we have to talk about it. If I sit here and I'm contributing to this conversation, I bring to the conversation
the nuance that is required.
The knowledge on what has happened over the last 6 to 8 months in terms of what we brought to the fore regarding the team's predicament, which is they are having to struggle with residential and non-residential camping, which has all sorts of problems attached to it, because it becomes difficult for the coaches to monitor basic things like heart rates of the boxers, which is very, very critical in preparing these boxers.
So that's
their nutrition. So it becomes very difficult. Anyway, while I'm very, very...
I mean, that's fair enough.
While I really want us to come to the party, because guess what? After spending in excess of $190 million to put up these satellite facilities, also has to be something to show for it.
Yes, I agree.
Just like Cote d'Ivoire have taught us.
Yeah.
You know, there also has to be something to show for it, because, you see, we're asking the home fans to go and watch.
Yes.
We're showing them, the processes to go through to acquire tickets to go and watch the games and all of that. What are they going to watch? And what kind of reward are they going to derive from going to watch these?
By the way, I have a question regarding the boxing.
Let's go.
Didn't we win 3 medals at the Commonwealth Games?
No.
In boxing?
The Commonwealth Games? Yes, we did.
We did. What happened to those boxes? And the Commonwealth Games was just in 2022.
What I was saying about a central plan for boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt mentioned the issue of logistics, how to track the heart rate of these boxes. The infrastructure for managing the Black Bombers, and I'm not talking about even boxing in Ghana, the Black Bombers alone does
Black
not exist.
Bombers.
The Black Bombers alone.
Bombers.
I knew this was coming. I avoid it because it has a very different meaning in my head. But the reality is the infrastructure is not, it doesn't exist.
To cut to the chase, you're saying basically that the boxers were camping in Legon. Didn't have
so
go on, no, go there.
We did 12 weeks of camping.
Yes,
the camping will call you here and then we say we are going here to go and camp. But unlike the way we talk about Black Stars are camping in Kumasi, everything they need there to go and train is there,
including a pitch. Yes, the boxers were not the same without boxing equipment.
No,
they were doing only shadow boxing for how long?
They didn't. And you see, the other thing also is that, unlike what we've tried to do with tennis, so we are outsourcing the talent coach or the coaching, right, by bringing in Russian instructor. Coach of Riasari from what? 2015.
Yeah.
From 2019. Mm. The politicking there, that essentially means that no one else can go in there. It's something we need to talk about. You cannot avoid it.
Okay.
The reality is that...
But you see, it's just like the... Yeah, we'll make progress right now. The thing is that
It's just like the Ghana Premier League, yeah, where a certain standard has been set for who can coach a Premier League team. Yeah. Now, in terms of experience and seniority and technical knowledge, Coach Asare is the only 3-star IBA coach in Ghana.
Yeah.
That is the
Which is not a problem, so, except that we're not building anyone else's capacity. Uh-huh.
So then the next conversation should be about building the capacity of the rest of them. You know, the Washingtons, yeah, the coach, you know, yeah, Latikwe Lattes and yeah, all of that, so that they can also get themselves up there.
But you see, that
who else is in team?
Let me just finish this. Mm. It has created a problem where, because of familiarity, it's breeding contempt. At the last Commonwealth Games, we were disgraced because a boxer failed a doping test. We behaved as if it was normal. When we went to Italy 3 days ago,
the guy who got to make a weight,
he was disqualified because he overate. Worldwide.
Daniel.
Like, how are you serious? Oh, he was overweight.
By 0.70.
Yes.
What is it? That is 70 grams.
Okay.
That could just constitute one bowl of Bounty.
I beg. I need some clarity here, because when it comes to weighing, when you take the first weight and you don't meet the standard,
you are
given a window.
Yes.
To reduce your weight, to make a second weight.
Went back.
The second one too. He couldn't
make any difference
because he went back to eat the banku.
So look, in terms of professionally managing these boxers, we are not managing them professionally. Right. And friends, we are friends with some of these boxers. You see some of the things they post on their WhatsApp status. Some of the substance that they take in, professionals should not be doing this.
They don't even know.
So that's back to it. Team Ghana, how many boxers are we presenting to the Africa Games? Who else is in the team?
So when we spoke
to Muhammad,
Coach Oforiasare, yes, he said the ministry will inform them the limits they have, because each team has its limits in terms of the numbers, but he's planning on 20.
Okay,
we have 7 in Italy. Of those, 6 are eligible to come down. The Leicester based guy is not coming for the African game, so if anything at all, let's work with possibly having 14 that will be joined by the 6 in Italy to form Team Ghana.
I think Teofilos is a good chance. We have a good chance of a medal.
But I just want to ask Nat a quick question. Freezy.
Okay.
Yes. He didn't even go to Italy.
Yes. No. So Freezy took a decision after his first professional bout in Ghana. We do remember, you know, that one. He took a decision after that and he announced it, that he wanted to excuse himself from, you know, from taking
national
part.
Team
I've been asked that question in a text message, you know, right now as well.
Right.
So that really is the
situation. So you people, quota, the boxing, we shouldn't expect a medal or what?
Well, let's play around under five medals. Let's play around that. I mean, realistically, and being very true to ourselves.
Zero is under five.
Yeah, zero is under five, but let's hover around 2. You know, that's about around 2 or 3.
Okay.
I think realistic.
Fair enough. Listen, let's talk football, because there is a realistic chance there. Actually, you've seen the Black Satellites, and we'll talk the women, but you've seen the Black Satellites squad as well. Enterprising players. I, for one, I'm very excited about the Dreams FC boy, Aziz Issa.
Well, I don't want to say generational, but in the context of Ghanaian players in CAF inter-club competitions, he's doing something special. He's got 4 goals, set up 2 others. The last time a Ghanaian player had such numbers, it was the great Emmanuel Clote for Brecon Chelsea back in 2012. Before that, you'd have to go back as far back as 8 years prior, 2004, the CAF Champions League campaign, Prince Tego's goals for Accra Hatteruck. So he's on to something special. It's not the flashy things he does, but also the maturity that he brings to the game at that level for Dreams FC is what is pretty exciting. And I think he's a reflection of the scouting regime that Dreams FC have got, in the sense that when you watch the football that they play and what he brings to the team, you can find traces of that in players that have come to the club in the years prior. So that certainly speaks to a certain consistency in the way they recruit. But in the context of the Black Satellites team, I like the fact that when he plays, he reflects the authority people expect of him. Because like it or not, when you are a known name in the league and you play for any of our youth teams, any of our youth national teams, the expectation is higher. Go back to the 90s. Every single Starlet or Black Satellites tournament where we have excelled, it's been the boys from the Milo Games at the secondary school, but more importantly, who had credibility because they were excelling in the league. Steven Odro from RTU back in 95, 97.
Ishmelado, Bernard Bote, Michael Osei, back at the Ibiswan Dwarfs, right?
Yes.
Emmanuel Osei for even in, from 2001, the John Paintsil Brekum Arsenal group and all of that. So we have a tradition where generally the players who excel in the league are the guys that we turn to in some of these competitions. And the expectation is that in this competition, he will be the guy that will rally the troops around.
What kind of preparations have they had? Because they have to play against Congo. I'm talking about the kind of opposition that they have. Tonight is their first game. They play against Congo, and then on Tuesday,
yeah,
they play again. That time against Gambia, and then they will finish the group stage against Benin as well.
You keep asking questions where some of the next answers Friday will lead us into.
What do we know about their coach, Desmond Affair?
So, very highly rated, very well educated, futuristic. And so, in terms of what you would want for a youth coach, he exactly has the profile. But that's one side of the divide. The other side has to be methods and ideas that have been proven to be successful within the context of the Black Satellites. And that's where the problem is. Because when it comes to that side of the question, he's very much an unknown entity. So a lot of the things he will be doing now are things that he will be experimenting, no matter how long he's been familiar with those ideas, because he hasn't handled a job like this before. The hope
is basically his baptism of fire.
So the hope is that he has sufficient knowledge of the Congolese, the Gambia, the Beninois teams that he is going to come up against, and even the opponents that we'll be facing when we make it out of this group, because we all expect that at the very least out of the group stage, we should be able to do that. So in terms of who David Offer is, that is it.
Desmond
Offer is. The FA rate him very highly because in the last 2 years, the FA president has spoken about how coaching is a major problem, to quote him, in Ghana football. Now, they've made two significant moves. When Bernard Lepert left, they promoted the head of coaching education, Professor Minta, into the technical director role. The other job, the other move they made was to move Desmond Affair into the head of coaching education. It tells you they believe that in terms of the man to provide the ideas and find the solutions in terms of player profiling, coaching, player development, and even the identity of teams, he's got significant and important ideas that could move the needle for Ghana football.
So in essence, he's under pressure.
He's under pressure.
Because this in itself, it's basically
his... And the two go hand in hand. Whatever he does with this satellites team, people are going to look at that and refer that to his job as the head of coaching education at the Ghana Football Association.
Interesting. Wild one. What about the women? Lawrence is our women's football expert here. The Black Princesses have been camping in Cape Coast, Lawrence. They've made some significant moves. The most important of them is drafting in Mukarrama Abdullahi into the squad. Is she not over 20?
I mean, she is over 20. The rules allow that you add two players who are over age, around that age. So she qualifies to be part of those two. I think it's...
Why didn't we bring Capito for the satellite?
I'm shocked.
I mean, it's one thing you have to leave for this one of her. So you look at her introduction, she's someone who's had experience in terms of playing with the junior ranks, and then the only thing missing for her at the moment is probably playing with the Black Queens. And it's quite unfortunate she's not gotten to that level yet because of an injury she picked up while she was playing outside Ghana. So I think it's a good move for Yusuf Vasigi.
Let's talk about the team itself and the kind of expectations we should have on them, because they are just on the back of qualification to a 7th consecutive World Cup appearance. Certainly, this is one of our sure bankers for a trophy, for a medal in this competition.
I mean, it's always the case when it comes to the women's football, because in the last three editions, we didn't play in the 2019 one, obviously, but in the last three editions, they've been a source of medal, winning in 2011, 2015, and I think, So they've won silver, they've won gold, and then they've won bronze as well. If you look at this team, you see Vasigi has managed them very well from when he took over the team, played at the Wafu B Wafubi Girls Cup, the very first time they was played in Kumasi, they won gold, beating Nigeria in the final. They conceded three goals in that tournament. I mean, the team has some leadership qualities in there. You have Afi, the goalkeeper, who is also the captain. Probably it will be straight to Mukarama, looking at her seniority.
Yeah.
But then Afi has done very well in terms of controlling her teammates, giving them instructions, helping them, the young ones who are coming through. You have someone like Sasse Sameya, who has been in the Hazakes team for quite some time. She was part of the team that played at the Women's Champions League.
Okay.
I mean, the new crop of players, like the likes of Belen Yakun, we obviously know of Stella Nyamiche, who's been with the Black Queens, even at a tender age. I mean, it tells you the kind of preparation they've had. They've been in Cape Coast for the last 3 weeks. They played a friendly against Sea Lions. We saw the performance.
Dismantled them.
I mean, it's not surprising. I feel the group they find themselves in is also a good one. They could have an easy progress to the knockout stages. And
their
then,
first game is tonight at 8 p.m.
No,
against
their first game is tomorrow. Nigeria plays the first game.
Oh, tomorrow night. Tomorrow Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm. So, at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Against Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. I mean, it's an position they should easily find their way past when it comes to this competition. I'm expecting them to probably reach the final, and if anything, just bring the gold medal home. This is the first time they are participating in the competition. They have high hopes. They are looking to probably make the nation proud. And looking at the preparation they had, you know they were in France for as part of their preparations, a 1 week training program, which we saw them train at the Clairefontaine. So
yeah, that's a lot of preparation.
Yeah, they've had some good preparation, and then we are all looking forward to they winning Ghana's gold medal.
I think there's a quick one.
Bashiri's team has not lost in 12 consecutive games.
That's right.
I mean, since he took over, he's lost.
Since he returned as coach.
Yes, yeah, they've never lost.
By the way, here's a message to the Ministry of Youth and Sports as well. Please, they have not been paid their qualification bonuses for going all the way.
Yeah, but I thought you said we are not lamenting.
No, it's not lamenting. It is
a reminder.
Reminder.
It's a lamentation.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm about to say that. Please, they promised to pay them the money. Before they start, look, you did the interview, Lawrence. The head of women's football, madam,
she was taken out of context.
No,
please.
Not that one. This one, she was clear. please, I beg you,
yeah. But then,
don't change the topic.
You said, madam, continue the name,
Gift Owari Mensah.
Madam Gift Owari Mensah, please, you listen to the show. You told us in an interview that the princesses would be paid before the start of this tournament. They played 6 matches to qualify for the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup in Colombia later this year. You told them you've not paid them a peswa for all those 6 matches. You promised them they would get their qualification bonus before the start of this tournament. The tournament starts tomorrow. You still haven't paid the money.
Also.
And for them, they are owed what? $2,000 per round, not 2-5 like the Queens. This is $2,000 per round. So 6 matches, that is $1,000 per game. 6 matches, $6,000 per player. You still haven't paid them. They've been camping in Cape Coast. And so one of the players called me and said they have been ostracized. They've cast them out into overseas.
You are complaining, it's okay.
No, I'm saying, so please, I beg you, pay the money. Pay the satellites. Because the last conversation...
The princesses.
Sorry, princesses, I beg your pardon. Forgive me. Today is International Women's Day. That is unpardonable. Yes, men are trash. please, pay them, princesses. But that is what we were talking about.
The black satellite lineup is out, Mpo.
I said satellite. Daniel corrected me, and I was on it. Then you also rushed to come and correct me again. How many corrections for one mistake?
You.
Today is International
Women's
Day.
The satellite lineup is out. So
today is International
Women's Day. We are talking about the women on Women's Day. We are talking about satellite.
Yes. We have moved on from them. We mentioned the
lineup.
Today is International Women's Day.
Thank you.
We owe the black princesses $6,000 per player. It is $1,000 per game. It is not a EBR. Give them the money. Let them go into this competition.
They could even have taken 1 million from the 60 million games village budget that they used to pay the girls.
Are you even saying 1 million? Just multiply 6,000 by 23 players.
I'm saying you can remove 1 million from that 60 million.
6,000 by, let's say, 23 players. It is not a EBR.
Here is 18.
It's not a EBR. You see, like we are here. we are lying to them. We lied to them.
That's 138,000.
138,000. If we take Alhaji Grusia's World Cup appearance fee, 100,000, then you add 38,000.
No, he sent 56,000 back. So.
He had the 38 that seconds rejected.
Out of but, the one. Because seconds. One thing, we will say it on this show, guaranteed the princesses will win us a medal at this Africa Games. Yeah. For sure. Guaranteed.
I mean, Basiki has done it before. He won the last gold.
In 20,
the last, even WAFU. In the fact, WAFU championships they hosted.
Yes, guaranteed. Anyway, so that's that.
There are some big news in the Ghana team. Because
which one?
The Accra Lions keeper has been dropped.
AFU.
AFU has been dropped. Saidi Yakubu.
Do you mean the satellites?
Yeah, the satellites.
Go through the lineup then.
So Saidi Yakubu is in post. Remember, Boateng, Ofori McCarthy, Nana Kwame Boakye, Mohamed Mohaison, Abdulaziz Issa. So he's taking the 10 jersey. Jerry Efriye, Emmanuel Mensah, Maxwell Azapope.
He joined the team only last week, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Kickoff is a 5.
Yes. Aaron Issel, Musbao Aziz. So basically, the big surprising news is the Daniel Afful, the Accra Lions keeper, is not starting. And then the captain, Asamoah Okafor,
is also not starting.
He was at the
pre-match press conference. Okay. You're listening to Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, Hits 103.9, brought to you by Patreon. So the biggest and the baddest sport remains. We will get into the track and field. We'll tell you all about the Azamatis and the Joe Pauls and when they're coming and what you should expect from them when we come back from this very short. We're also calling on all women who are looking to change their levels. Come and attend the Include Hair Conference. It's on the 9th of March. That's tomorrow to mark International Women's Day. Speakers are Michelle Atto, Koki Salome, Sophia Bensing, Helen Appiah, Ampofo, Mary Anna Edujemfi, Edma Lawa, Professor Mauko are all there. The MC is Eunice Tony and the event host is Lady Sam. Come and be mentored by these successful women. Lunch and refreshments will be served. Just call 0279-562-165. 0279-562-165 to purchase your ticket. You don't want to miss. Sponsors are Fiesta Royal Hotel, EB Service, Pop Culture, Cape May Properties, The Signature Apartments, Dar Living, BNFT, Y1079 FM, Joy FM, as well as Joy Prime. All of them. Of course, ensuring that you have a wonderful day tomorrow. Let me tell you about this. This particular Easter, we've conquered Ghana. This particular Ghana month. Remember that here at the Multimedia Group, we have conquered Ghana with you. We've escaped with you to the Western region. We've gone on the Savannah Safari together. And oh, remember the Afajata Conquest? Kayaking on the Volta Lake and all the many other adventures and fun trips we've done together? Those were very educative, fun, and memorable discoveries of Ghana we made together. And now it's time to take it a notch higher. Make new discoveries, create new experiences, and relive nightlife back in the days with the Eastern Camp Adventure. This time, we will pitch camp somewhere serene on top of a Bruy mountain, experience the adventure of tent accommodation, sit by the fireside and relive those typical Ghanaian moments with Anansi stories, jungle party with barbecue, Jama night, movie, as well as a visit to the Asinama waterfalls and Okugwa, among many other historic places. We'll also spend our time at the Safari Valley Eco Park with a good lunch. With only 1,500 Ghana cedis, your transportation, access to Tory side, full board and everything else is covered. Save a spot now. Pay via Momo to 059-303-88-42. 059-303-88-42. 059-303-88-42. The name on the Momo is Daniel Boyfew / Multimedia Group. Please reference Joy Camp when you make the payment. Short code to purchase ticket is *714*003#. *714*003#. For more information, please call 0302-216-540. 0302-216-540. The Eastern Camp Adventure, discoveries, fun, and memories. All right, the guys are still here. Welcome back to the show, of course, all of you. Achu is here, Daniel is here, Muftau is here, and Benaya is here. Benaya is the guy that has been looking at hockey. Now, hockey is one sport that Ghana seemed to do well in, or seemed to be very good just a couple of years ago, or a few years ago. We even hosted a whole Hockey Africa Cup of Nations here in Accra. Okay, a few years down the line, it's not looking very good. And with the Africa Games here, Benaya, what kind of team are we presenting for the Africa Games? Where have they been training? Should we be excited for a medal? Why are you laughing? Just go straight and answer the question now.
Excited for a medal? No.
No?
Nah, no, no.
Hockey?
No. I think the team are being set up for Filwa, so...
What do you mean? Who is setting it? Okay, what's been happening with the hockey team?
They've been training in Kumasi since January to 28th of January in Kumasi, KNUST.
That's where our hockey teams have been camping, both male and female.
Yeah, that's where they are training. Okay. Yeah. And according to what I know, as at the time I asked what's been happening in camp and all, it's like even the team over there, they are not really certain on what's going on. In terms of communication has been poor, they don't know their left and right and all that. But as we speak, their counterparts, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, and Egypt, these are four countries that are very strong. Look at Ghana, the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations, Nigeria knocked out Ghana in the quarterfinals, and I think South Africa were the ones that won the trophy.
Yeah,
and also the Paris 2024 qualifies. South Africa are the ones that won it and booked their tickets for the 2024 Olympics. And the question is why, in terms of preparation and everything, it's been very poor. Our stadium, that's the hockey pitch, the so-called hockey pitch,
mm-hmm.
it's not yet done. The third.
You mean the hockey competition is starting when?
So it was scheduled to happen on the 15th of March. Okay. But it has been moved to the 17th of March because of the delay in the readiness of the pitch.
Wow.
And as we speak right now, the pitch is not yet done.
Well, so the Africa Games are starting today, but some facilities, including the Teodosia hockey pitch,
it's not yet done.
Will it be done before the competition? Before the hockey competition starts?
That's a big question because it takes time for the theft to be laid. And after it's laid, it needs to be tested and approved by the International Hockey Federation to make sure it reaches the required standard for tournaments like this. Because they were given a pass to host the 2022 Hockey Africa Cup of Nations and the African Cup for Club Championship.
Yes.
The pitch wasn't up to standard, but they were still given a pass.
Those two were both hosted here at Todesoko.
That's 2001. That was for the African Club Championship, and 2022 was for the national teams.
2 years
and
ago.
They had the whole year to make sure that the pitch was ready for the African Games, and it's still not yet done. The update I had today was they are painting and cleaning up the place, but for aesthetics, for the place to look good. But as we speak, the theft has not yet been laid.
Are you people sure that we can finish the show without me lamenting?
Thank you. Actually, you remember the day we went to the Legon Stadium when we toured the Games Village?
Yes.
If anyone had told me that I would go there a week later and see transformation, I would have said it's false.
What kind of transformation are you talking about?
Okay, so when we went to the Games Village, where if you get there right now, where the car park is, was a complete bush. And in fact, I remember the conversation the minister was having with the contractor. And the contractor was saying that it is not part of his job. And the minister said, it is part of your job. So, and in fact, within 5 days when I went back there, the place was completely off.
So, if I get you right.
It was properly, the hostels were properly painted.
You are telling me
new
that
doors were fixed.
I get it. So, the import of your message is that we are good at working magic.
I think it's possible.
So they have 9 days. It means they have 9 days.
No, that's fair.
You see?
It will be done.
They started laying the steps.
It will be done. Benaya, it will be done.
9 days.
The drama is quite interesting. Sometimes you look at a work and you say it's huge. But a transformation they can give you within 72 hours, you'll be shocked.
And how long would that last after the tournament? How quality is it going to be?
See, the only thing is, you see something they can work with.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Guys, Let's talk about something exciting, track and field. And I'll throw this one to Muftau, then the rest of you can chip in. Muftau, where are we? What is the number of contingent? I saw a list from the Ghana Athletics.
Yeah.
Which name should we be excited about? And what have you? Basically, give us the rundown on track and field.
Okay, so on the track and field, the names out there, everyone is very much aware of. The Azamatis, the Joseph Paul Amoas, the Ibrahim Fusainis. These are exciting athletes which you will look on for. James Dazi and all that. And then when your very own Ho Haluti, when it comes to...
Ho is coming back.
Ho is coming, Charlie.
She almost looked like she'd been missing for the past two or three years.
After going for the Commonwealth Games in Australia, Gold Coast, we haven't heard much from her since then. But she's coming back. In fact, she was also part of the Commonwealth Games for just 2022 and all that. So, athletics is going to be quite exciting. My reservation, however, has to do with the conversation you and I had about some of the athletes that we are likely not to have them to come around. The likes of Grace Obor, who has been sensational when it comes to the 400 meters. Raymond French, who has been extremely good in the 400 meters. These are athletes that there are concerns that they might not be showing up for.
Is Diafo part?
Pardon?
Solomon Diafo.
Yeah, Solomon Diafo is part. Yes, he's part. And like I mentioned, it's just a reservation that I have about the fact that Raymond French might not be coming. Grace Obor might not be coming. There's also British who might not be coming. So, Arjuman. I've forgotten her second name.
Okay.
That's why I mentioned just the first. I've forgotten the second name. I'm thinking that...
Were they named, though?
They were named.
Okay.
Where they were named. And I remember having a conversation with you about some of the challenges they have with some of them have with their coaches. Some of them have issues with their coaches. Their coaches are reluctant to release them to come for the African Games. Ghana Athletics is still trying to see. Some of the foreign-based athletes are expected to start arriving. Some of them have offered to arrive on the 11th and 12th of this month. So that they can start preparations for the athletics events that are going to start on the 18th. And I'm thinking that with the history of Team Ghana, when it comes to the athletics competitions in Commonwealth Games, they've always been the team that will stand tall for us when it comes to these events. I'm also a bit disappointed by the fact that Rose Yeboua, who won gold for Ghana in the last Commonwealth Games, will not be here to defend her title. I think if she was here, she would have guaranteed us a gold medal, especially in the high jump.
What about Deborah Akwa?
Deborah Akwa is not coming. For the long jump, she's also not coming.
That's a lot of missing names. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I don't know whether if we can go in detail. These are things you are very much aware of. So
I'm asking you the questions.
No, that's
the listeners want to know.
They are,
so you see, he asked you a question. Everybody in this room knows, but you answer. What is that?
There are lots of politics behind the scenes. I don't want us to lament by going into the politics. So I think we should take.
He's the one who said we are not lamenting.
Yes.
The same person who has asked you the question. So answer the
I didn't ask him to lament.
Meanwhile,
so I just asked him about why so many good names are missing.
Especially Deborah Akwa.
Especially after being named.
Yes.
If let's say.
No, in the first place, Deborah was
it's like named. It's like, let's put it this way. No, not Deborah. Especially, like, there's a lot of names that were included that are not coming.
Yeah,
that's like naming a blaster squad and players saying they won't come. So that one we are interested for people like Deborah who were not named. You can ask, why were they named? And you can say, but if you have been listed
and you didn't show up
and you are not showing up, that's a problem.
So Grace Obor, Lovina, Raymond French,
listed but not showing up.
Listed, but not showing up. The reasons given are that their coaches are reluctant to release them to come.
Okay.
That's one.
Okay.
The other aspect is that there are claims that former athletes are contributors to why the athletes are not coming. Because some of these former athletes who are with these athletes in the States have told their coaches not to release them to come because the Commonwealth Games is nothing. It's not
African
worth it.
Games.
Okay.
The African Games is nothing.
That's their attitude towards the games.
That is an attitude some people have created in the minds of some athletes.
Are there measures being taken to replace them? Do you know?
The last conversation.
Because otherwise, it would affect even the relay teams, because some of them are key members of the relay teams.
Yes, yeah, so someone like Raymond French.
Or even Grace Obor, 4x4.
Or Grace Obor for the 4x4. The last conversation I had with Ghana Athletics, they are still trying to see if they can convince the coaches. And one interesting thing was that I was made to understand that the president of Ghana Athletics spoke to one of the coaches and he asked the president of Ghana Athletics whether he has permission from your friend. I don't want to put his name publicly.
From some other coaches. From some people representing some athletes.
From some athletes. Whether he has their permission to ask the coaches to release them. And the president of Ghana Athletics were like, I need the permission of Fentu.
Somebody's represent like an agent to call the player to the national team.
The player to the national team and all that. So those are some.
So things. There's some politics.
Yeah, there's some politics happening.
Hampering our chances.
Yes,
we've noted it now.
But those are some things that they are trying to see if they can resolve. Yesterday, I was privileged to a phone call with some officials and some athletes who were giving out this. Of when they want to arrive for the games and all that. So hopefully, they're supposed to start arriving tonight.
Yes.
Some are willing to start arriving on the 11th, 12th, latest by 13th, which we should have all of them around. Grace Obor sent it that she will not show up.
Another big miss is Rosie Aboa.
Rosie Aboa, yes.
The defending African Games champion, like you mentioned, in the women's high jump.
In the women's high jump.
She's not coming, not because she's actually competing in the NCAAs. She's just not coming because of politics. I'm going to put it plainly.
You see, because of politics. That we can you see the politics, I don't want to go into detail.
There's an aspect that we can speak to, and what lends credibility or gives credibility to whatever these supposed coaches or representatives will tell.
I actually have the phone calls recorded. Mm-hmm. I've listened to the conversation.
Of people telling them not to go.
Okay,
fair.
And there is that. But I'm saying that what makes these coaches and even the athletes themselves believe some of these things is what they see happen to some of the other athletes.
Okay, that's
the Baracus issue situation. With her injury and the whole attitude towards who's going to fund the cost of her treatments. The promises that were made to her and the no-show that followed. They pay attention to some of those things. The issues of the bonuses that they are sometimes owed. If you ask an athlete, for example, and they are based in the US, some of these athletes don't work. So when you tell them that they should pre-finance the cost of the airfare, hotel that they are going to sleep in ahead of the games, right, where they are coming to represent the country, and there are challenges in reimbursing them those funds. All of those things and the history we've had with these issues affect these things too.
Okay. Benjamin Azamati is coming. Joseph Paul Amor is coming.
Solomon Dazi is coming.
Okay. Edwin Gadayi is there.
Yes.
Solomon Diafo is coming. Barnabas is coming.
Yes.
Yes.
Ibrahim Fusini from St. Augustine is coming.
Since Abraham Shoneke is coming. Long jump.
Also coming. Yes. Ibrahim Shoneke is coming. Esther Obinua is also coming.
Okay.
Yes.
For the women, Mary Boache. Count on them. So, guaranteed, I think our men's relay team is our biggest chance of a medal. Damati is also competing in front of home crowd. He's a former UG student.
Yeah.
So be excited for that. Joseph Paul Amor in the 200 meters is a Commonwealth Games bronze medalist. He has to bring his expertise on board. Either way, the games start today. And hopefully, by the time we come back here next Friday, we would have some events and some medals to speak about. But until then, do enjoy the games. My name is Fentio Tahir Fentio. That's our show for today. Thanks a lot for listening. It will be available as a podcast on all podcast platforms, as well as on YouTube on the Joy News channel. We're back again next Friday. Until then, do take care of yourself.